So we're going to be looking at John chapter 15 and 16. So if you have a Bible, do get that up. And I'll read that now. So we're starting at chapter 15, verse 26, and then we'll go to 16, verse 15. So it's right at the top left of 1084. Verse 26, when the Advocate comes, whom I will send to you from the Father, the Spirit of truth who goes out from the Father, he will testify about me. And you also must testify, for you have been with me from the beginning. All this I have told you so that you will not fall away. They will put you out of the synagogue. In fact, the time is coming when anyone who kills you will think they are offering a service to God. They will do such things because they have not known the Father or me. I have told you this so that when their time comes, you will remember that I warned you about them. I did not tell you this from the beginning because I was with you, but now I am going to him who sent me. None of you asks me, where are you going? Rather, you are filled with grief because I have said these things. But very truly, I tell you, it is for your good that I am going away. Unless I go away, the Advocate will not come to you. But if I go, I will send him to you. When he comes, he will prove the world to be in the wrong about sin and righteousness and judgment. About sin, because people do not believe in me. About righteousness, because I am going to the Father, where you can see me no longer. And about judgment, because the prince of this world now stands condemned. I have much more to say to you, more than you can now bear. But when he, the Spirit of truth, comes, he will guide you in all truth. He will not speak on his own. He will speak only what he hears, and he will tell you what is yet to come. He will glorify me, because it is from me that he will receive what he will make known to you. All that belongs to the Father is mine. That is why I said the Spirit will receive from me what he will make known to you. Well, as we begin, why don't I pray? Father God, thank you for your word. Thank you that in it we can receive clarity about who you are, about who your Son is, and about who the Holy Spirit is. Thank you that this morning we could spend some time thinking about the Spirit, and we pray that we would be encouraged to live for you more and live according to the Spirit. Amen. Amen. Well, as we begin our time in this passage this morning, I'd love to draw your attention to one of the things that Jesus says right in the middle, where he says, but very truly, I tell you, it is for your good that I am going away. Jesus said, it is for your good that I am going away. Now just imagine for a moment how the disciples, how the apostles, hearing that, how would they think in response to that? Because they've been with Jesus for 3 years now. Their whole life has been turned upside down because of him. Their whole life is lived in light of Jesus now. And then he says, it's to your good that I go away. Now that really would be shocking to them. And why does he say it's good? He says it's good because if he does not go away, the Advocate will not come. The Spirit will not come. So Jesus says, it's really good for you that I am going away, because if I go away, the Spirit will come. And for us here this morning, we might think, actually, is it that good that Jesus went away and then now we have the Spirit? Because sometimes I think I'd rather actually have Jesus in the room instead. You know, I've got the Spirit, but it seems really hard life now. You know, We may have people that we love who don't know Christ, and it feels like, well, if Jesus was here, maybe that would be easier. For example, you know, a lot of Aaron's family, my wife, that is, don't believe in Jesus, and that's really hard. Or it may just feel like, actually, I just really struggle to tell people about Jesus. And maybe if I had Jesus here with me, that would be a lot easier as well. Or it might be that you just are really at the moment going through a patch where you're struggling to pray, you're struggling to read God's word, it feels less exciting for you at the moment. And maybe if Jesus was here, that would make that easier as well. So sometimes it doesn't feel that easy, does it? Now that Jesus is gone, but we have the Spirit. But Jesus says, it's better this way. It's better this way. So I've got a simple aim this morning, and it's this. It's to get excited about the fact that we have the Spirit. I'm going to try doing that in three ways, and that's by looking at three words. And they're three words which all kind of come from the same word. So if you've ever kind of looked at John's Gospel before, you may have heard someone say something about the word advocate, that's the third word in our passage. And they might say something like, this is, you know, it's a very, very loaded word. It's got lots of meanings. And so as we go through our passage this morning, I'm basically going to go through it using three kind of translations for what that word might mean. And the first one we're going to go for is the one that is in our passage. It's advocate. And what is an advocate? Well, I looked it up in a dictionary, and it's someone who speaks for, supports, or represents a group of people. That's an advocate. And Jesus says that the Spirit is going to be doing exactly that in our first verse of the passage. So 15:26, it says, when the Advocate comes, whom I send to you from the Father, the Spirit of truth who goes out from the Father, he will testify about me. Says the Spirit will testify about Jesus. Now, when I think of the Advocate, as the Spirit is the advocate, I'm thinking the Spirit is our advocate. But I think the big surprise here is actually the Spirit is advocating, bearing witness, Jesus. He is absolutely our advocate as well. Let me don't worry about that. But he's also advocating for Jesus. And we see that again at the end of our passage as well, in chapter 16, verse 13. But when he, the Spirit of truth, comes, he will guide you in all truth. He will not speak on his own. He will speak only what he hears, and he will tell you what is yet to come. He will glorify me, because it is from me that he will receive what he will make known to you. So who is the Spirit glorifying? The Spirit is glorifying Jesus. Because the work of the Spirit is the work of Jesus. Someone recently told me this story about this famous preacher, theologian guy. You might have heard him, J.R. Packer. He was preaching on something, I think, similar to this passage. And as he was going to preach, he was like, oh, I'm trying to think of an illustration for what the Spirit is like. And as he was going to a church. And as he got there, it was dark. And what did he find? He found floodlights shining on the church. And he thought, that's a really lovely illustration for what the Spirit is doing. Because with a floodlight, where does the attention go? Well, it doesn't go to the floodlight bulb, does it? It goes straight onto the church. And that's exactly what the Spirit is doing. The Spirit does not draw attention to himself. The Spirit points all the attention onto Jesus. Because the work of the Spirit is the work of Jesus. And not only that, the last verse in our passage, all that belongs to the Father is mine. That is why I said, the Spirit will receive from me what he will make known to you. So not only is the Spirit doing the work of Jesus, but they are receiving that from the Father. Spirit, Son, Father, all working together. The work of the Spirit is the work of Jesus, which is the work of the Father. Someone has put it like this. The Father is the source, The Son is the center, and the Holy Spirit is the end. And what is it they're doing? Well, at the end of our passage, they're teaching about the truth, aren't they? Now, that has a special application to the first hearers of Jesus' words here, because that's for the apostles, isn't it? And the apostles then take what is true, take what they hear from the Spirit, and write it down for us in the Bible. And that's one reason why we can absolutely trust what we have in our hands, that we can trust that it really is the Word of God, because the Spirit spoke it to the apostles. But it's also true for us in a kind of lesser extent as well, because we are also those who bear witness. Remember, the Spirit bears witness about Jesus, but we also bear witness. We also testify about Jesus. And so we also speak the truth when we do that. We do that through the power of the Spirit. The Spirit is a speaker, and the Spirit is a spotlight that points onto Jesus, advocating Jesus and also being our advocate. So that's the first word for what the word advocate means. Another way it's translated, you may come across this in another translation, is kind of helper or comforter. And I think that's going to help us as we look through the next few verses. Now, the context for our passage is that Jesus has just been saying about how hard it is going to be for those who follow him. And if you just flip back the page, verse 18 in chapter 15, if the world hates you, keep in mind that it hated me first. So Jesus is warning his followers that it's going to be hard for them. And that's, again, what he talks about at the beginning of chapter 16. All this I have told you so that you will not fall away. They will put you out of the synagogues. In fact, the time is coming when anyone who kills you will think they are offering a service to God. They will do such things because they have not known the Father or me. I have told you this so that when their time comes, you will remember that I warned you about them. I did not tell you this from the beginning because I was with you. So Jesus is saying, you know, life is going to be hard if you follow me, but I'm telling you all this to stop you from falling away during those trials. So what's the all this at the beginning of chapter 16 there? I think it's all that we're seeing in chapter 14 to chapter 17. Jesus is saying, I'm speaking all of this to help you to stand firm, to not fall away. And what is Jesus telling them about? Well, a lot of what Jesus is telling them about is the Spirit, isn't it? Jesus is speaking about the Spirit to keep them from falling away. I think the implication of that is actually the Spirit himself will also keep them from falling away, because the Spirit is a helper, the Spirit is our comforter. Because the Spirit is also the one who reminds them of what Jesus says. In chapter 14, he says, the Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in my name, will teach you all things and will remind you of everything I have said to you. Remember, the work of the Spirit is the work of Jesus. And so the Spirit comforts, helps us by reminding us of Jesus when we face trials. Now, for the apostles, the first hearers of these words of Jesus, that's got a particular application. You know, they will be put out of synagogues. They will be killed. But there are also things from that we can take for ourselves as well. Just as the world hated Jesus, many people in this world still hate him and still hate his people. Maybe for you, that's as you try and speak the gospel to a friend, to a neighbor, and they just shut it down. They just say, no, I'm not interested in that, thank you. And they maybe even decide they don't want to be friends with you anymore. But even more sharply, we can see this throughout the world, can't we? You know, you just need to go onto the website of Open Doors, which is a website that kind of tells you about the persecuted church, to see that all over the world, Christians are suffering because they are testifying about Jesus. I read this story of Agnes in Nigeria, where there's a terrorist group, Boko Haram. And she says this: we were working in the fields of our farm when armed men approached us. They kidnapped three of us. They later killed two of my friends. I am the only one living. Really hard, really horrific thing to experience. But in the midst of that, she says about how she would sing to herself, God will never abandon us. God will never abandon us. And you're thinking, how? Wow. In that suffering, how can she say that? Well, it's because the Spirit is her helper. The Spirit is her comforter. And the same is true for us. We may not experience suffering in that way, but we do sometimes experience hatred from the world for being a follower of Christ. So remember what we're doing here. We're thinking, why is it that it's so good that we have the Spirit now rather than Jesus being here in person? And we're thinking about that through the lenses of three different ways of thinking about the name of the Holy Spirit. We've had Advocate, we've had Helper, Comforter. And third meaning is Prosecutor. Now, that is a less kind of... It is within the meaning of the word, okay? It's not like... You're not going to get it in a translation, but it is within the meaning of the word. And we see this really clearly in verse 8. In verse 8, when he comes, the Advocate, he will prove the world to be in the wrong about sin and righteousness and judgment. Now, these are not the easiest verse to understand, neither are the ones that follow it. You might be thinking, well, what does it mean for the Spirit to prove the world wrong? Like, what is that? What do these three words mean? Sin, righteousness, judgment? Like, what's that got to do with it? And then you might be thinking, well, how is this even helpful to be told this? And it seems quite hard, doesn't it? And I think as we approach this verse, we've got to remember what we've been saying about the Spirit. The Spirit works in complete tangent with the Father and the Son. And in particular, the Spirit continues the work of Jesus. And as we think about that, we might remember, well, I might remember anyway, that in the previous chapter, Jesus says, if they persecute me, they will persecute you also. But if they obey my teaching, they will obey yours also. It's like Jesus is laying open before the people and about his work, and they respond in one of two ways, don't they? They either persecute or they obey. And I think if we remember that the Spirit is carrying on the work of Jesus, then we'll remember that is what the Spirit is doing in this verse here when he says he's proving the world wrong about these things. I think, what is the Spirit doing in this verse? I think basically he is calling the world to repentance. He's calling the world to repentance. But what about these three things then? Sin, righteousness, judgment. I think they're three things that belong to the world. So the Spirit is proving the world wrong about their sin. The Spirit is proving the world wrong about their righteousness or supposed righteousness. The Spirit is proving the world wrong about their supposed judgments. And I think that helps as we read on. So verse 9, about sin, because people do not believe in me. So the world is wrong about sin because they don't believe. And that makes sense, doesn't it? Because if they did believe, then they would understand rightly that they have sin. And then verse 10, about righteousness, because I am going to the Father where you will see me no longer. The Spirit will convict the world about their righteousness, which I think is kind of their like self-righteousness, if that makes sense, or their lack of understanding of righteousness. And how is he going to do that? Well, it's because Jesus is going to the Father, and therefore the Spirit is able to go out and do this. And lastly, about judgment, because the prince of this world now stands condemned. The Spirit will convict the world of their judgment. That is, their kind of false judgments, their incorrect judgments about Jesus in particular. And how is that going to happen? Well, look at the cross. Look at the cross where the prince of this world is now condemned. So overall, the Spirit is convicting the world. It's calling the world to repent. And that happens through his people, through the people of God and through Jesus as we speak about Jesus. It's a bit like the world is kind of in a courtroom. Okay, we've had advocates, we've had prosecutor, and it's like Jesus and the Spirit are both advocate and prosecutor. And within the world, there are those for whom he is their advocate, and there are those for whom he prosecutes. He's like, I've demonstrated the fact that Jesus is the Son of God. I've demonstrated the fact of your sin, of your false judgments, of your lack of righteousness, but you didn't respond. You didn't repent. So why then, in light of all of these things, why is it better that we have the Spirit rather than Jesus in the room, as it were? Well, I think it's these three things. It's the fact that we have an advocate. The Spirit is advocating for us, and he advocates for Jesus. We have a helper, we have a comforter in our trials, in our difficulties. And we have the Spirit working to continue Jesus' work through prosecuting the world. And how is it that Jesus continues his work then? Jesus continues his work in even more amazing ways than he did when he was here in person in some ways. Because while Jesus was located in Israel in a particular place, in a particular time, he was doing things with a particular group of people. But now, Jesus works through his Spirit in all of the world, through the whole church. And remember, we're thinking, why is it so good that Jesus went away? Well, there's one major reason I've not mentioned yet. And that's when we think about the question of where Jesus is actually going. Jesus says, it's better that I'm going away. But where is Jesus going? Now, most of us would say, Jesus is going to the Father. And I'm completely on board with that. In fact, that's what the passage says in verse 10. I'm going to the Father. But what else is he going? Where else is he going? Jesus is going to the Father, but he's going to the cross, isn't he? He's going to the cross where he would suffer, where he would die. But ultimately, where the devil would be defeated, as we thought about in verse 11. The prince of the world is condemned at the cross. And through that, the devil now has no hold over us. Through Jesus' death, we now have the Spirit. The Spirit can fill the people of God because of Jesus' death. And you just need to think about what happens after this to know that's right, don't you? Because what happens? Jesus dies, Jesus rises, Jesus ascends, and the next thing is the pouring out of the Spirit, isn't it? It's because of all that Jesus does that the Spirit comes. Jesus was with the disciples, but now he is in us. So it says, Jesus says, the Spirit lives with you, but will be in you in chapter 14. And then he says, you are in me, and I in you, and I am in you. So he's saying that Jesus will be in the people of God. Whereas in the upper room now, he's just with them. And that really is better. That really is better because we have the Spirit. It really is better now. Not only have you got the Spirit in you, but the Spirit is working with the Father, with the Son, in you and through you. Say, for example, at the beginning we were talking about how sometimes you speak the gospel to someone, you talk to them about Jesus, that is, and they don't really respond very well. They don't like it. Now, for us, that can feel like it's all gone wrong. But the reality is that the Spirit is still working in that situation, isn't it? Because, like we were thinking, the Spirit is a prosecutor. So not only is he bringing people to repentance, but he's also showing the world their sin. And if they don't respond, then that is also the work of the Spirit as well. That's hard for us to take in this situation, the time that we are, but that is the work of the Spirit as well. Well, say, for example, you're one of those people that was talking about how, you know, Christian life feels quite hard right now. You're trying to read the Bible, you're trying to pray, but it feels hard. It feels like you don't have joy in those situations. It could be hard in those situations to think that you have the Spirit, and you know, it would be better to have Jesus here with you. But I'd love to say, actually, that you do have the Spirit working in you because you are here. Many people in the world don't go to church anymore. The fact you come to church is a sign that the Spirit is working in you. Now, that may not be the case for everyone, but for those who've put their trust in Christ, the Spirit is working in you and bringing you here. He has convicted you of your sin. He has helped you throughout your life to keep going, to keep following Jesus. And he is your advocate now before the Father, showing him that you are one of his people. So why don't we pray that we would have that joy ourselves? Father God, thank you so much for your Holy Spirit. Thank you that he continues Jesus' work. Thank you that through him, we also join in your work now. As your Spirit works in us, we grow your kingdom through the work of your Spirit. Lord, please help us when it feels hard and we don't have Jesus here with us, but we do have the Spirit. We pray that we would have joy that Jesus is not with us, but in us, and that is better. Lord, please help us when things feel hard, things feel slow, and we're not progressing in a Christian life in the way we might expect. Please help us to rely on the Spirit, to know that he is working in our lives, and that we would remember that we have an advocate with the Father. We have two advocates. We have Jesus, and we have the Spirit. Thank you for that, Lord. Amen.